Stop running and listen up. I've got huge news coming soon, and it's strictly for you, the listeners of this podcast. We all know the apocalypse is expensive, but your entertainment shouldn't be. Forget monthly subscriptions and counting credits. I'm offering you the ultimate survival stash. For a one-time payment of just $20, you are getting the keys to the vault. I am talking perpetual access. You get every audiobook I've ever released, everything I'm recording right now, and here is the kicker. Every single book I release in the future. That is a lifetime supply of headshots, hordes, and survival horror for the price of a pizza. All the zombie action you can handle forever for $20 flat. Keep your eyes on the feed. This deal is shambling your way soon, and you do not want to get left behind. Blood. The static was the only constant. It was a white noise ocean that washed over the Rocky Mountains, filling the silence where civilization used to be. Nicole Bennett sat in the high-backed leather chair that had once belonged to the man who ended the world. The command center of the mountain base, buried deep within the rock above the town of government secrets, hummed with a low electric thrum. It was a sound of life, a gift from a man named Gary Sykes, who had died hundreds of miles away to keep the lights on. But at 4 a.m., it sounded like a dying breath. Nicole pressed the transmission button on the console. Her voice was steady, practiced, stripped of the tears she had shed months ago when she first arrived.
"This is Nicole Bennett. We are survivors. We are located 45 miles west of the I-70 turnoff in the mountains. If you can hear this, there is food here. There is electricity here. There is safety."
She released the button. Silence. Then the crackle of atmospheric interference. She waited for a response, a habit she couldn't break, even though the radio had been silent for weeks. The blue glow of the massive wall-sized monitors washed over her pale face, illuminating the dark circles under her eyes. She wasn't just tired. She was eroded. Nicole stood up, her joints popping, and walked to the glass wall of the elevated office. From here, she could look down into the massive command center, the nerve center of what was supposed to be the continuity of government. Now just a tomb for ghosts and a shelter for the living. But she didn't look at the empty computer terminals. She looked past them toward the heavy steel blast doors that Paul Baxter had pried open the day they arrived. She turned away from the glass, intending to leave, but her eyes snagged on the dark, irregular patch on the plush executive carpet near the desk. It wasn't just a stain. It was an accusation. It was where Colonel Bennett had fallen, his head snapping back from her bullet. But to Nicole, it looked like the map of the apocalypse. The dark spot represented the billions dead, the cities burning, the silence of the world, all birthed from the bloodline that ran through her own veins. The anxiety spiked hot and suffocating. She couldn't leave it there, not today. Nicole scrambled to the bottom drawer of the desk, retrieving a jug of harsh industrial solvent and a stiff bristled wire brush she kept hidden for this exact ritual. She didn't bother with water or dilution. She uncapped the jug, the chemical fumes stinging her eyes with the scent of acid and artificial lemon, and poured a heavy glug directly onto the carpet. She dropped to her knees and scrubbed. Back and forth, harder. The friction generated heat. Her hands were already a ruin, knuckles parched, skin white and flaking from days of this obsessive, secret penance. She didn't care. She drove the wire bristles into the weave of the rug, trying to scour the sin out of the floor. Get it out! Get it out!
The skin on her knuckles finally gave way. The dry crack split wide, and fresh, bright red blood dripped down, swirling into the gray, frothy suds of the cleaner. It was mixed with the old, dark residue of her father, turning the foam a vibrant, accusing crimson. She stopped, her breathing hitching in a sob. She was adding to the stain, not removing it. She held her trembling hands out in front of her, staring at the blood dripping from her fingers. Blood on her hands, literal and absolute. The mental anguish was a physical weight pressing her into the floor.
"Nicole, you coming up? My shift's over in 5.
Sam's voice crackled over the radio on her hip, jarring her. Panic surged. If he saw this, if he saw her like this, the facade would crumble. She scrambled, shoving the bottle and gore-flecked brush deep under the heavy oak desk. The wet, red spot glared at her. She grabbed at the edge of a heavy Persian rug and yanked it over the mess, burying the evidence of her guilt. She stood up, wiped her stinging hands on her trousers, and took a shuddering breath, forcing her face into a mask of stone. She grabbed her rifle, a reflex honed over months of travel, and made her way out of the command deck, heading toward the surface. She needed air. The recycled atmosphere of the base always tasted faintly of ozone and copper. Stepping out into the pre-dawn chill of the loading dock, the biting Colorado air hit her lungs. The fog was heavy this morning, clinging to the pine trees and the jagged rocks like wet cotton. It obscured the town in the valley below, turning the world into a gray void. Though she couldn't see them because of the thick fog, she knew they were there, the progeny of her father's work. The town was still overrun with zombies, the walking death. Each one here and the world over brought into existence through her bloodline. She knew they had to go, that the town needed to be cleared. With so many hearing her message of refuge, the base would soon be overcrowded, and they would need the town below for housing, not to mention providing safety and a semblance of normal life. People should live in houses, be able to walk the streets of their neighborhood, and not live deep underground in a mountain. She knew all of this, but despite the constant urging from Sam, she could not bring herself to commit even one soul to the task. To have even one perish at her command was more than she could bear. She found Sam leaning against the corrugated metal wall of the watchtower, shivering slightly despite his heavy parka. He straightened as she approached, his breath hitching in a cloud of condensation.
"You look like hell, Nicole," he said, his voice rough with fatigue. "Did you sleep at all?" "I'm fine, Sam. Go get some chow. I've got the watch."
He didn't move. He peered closely at her, noting the gray pallor of her skin and the way her eyes seemed to have trouble focusing on him.
"No, you're not fine. You're shaking. Look, I can pull a double. It's quiet out there. Go back down. Catch a couple of hours." "I said I have it, Sam."
She moved to push past him to take her place at the railing, but he stepped in her path. In her frustration, she yanked her hand out of her jacket pocket to gesture him away. The motion was sharp, careless. Sam's eyes dropped to her hand. In the harsh halogen light of the loading dock, the damage was impossible to miss. The skin across her knuckles was raw and split, a map of angry red fissures. Dried blood had pooled in the cracks and stained her cuticles a deep, rusty brown.
"Jesus, Nicole," Sam breathed, reaching out. "Your hands! What happened?"
He tried to take her wrist, but she recoiled as if burned, shoving her hand back into the sanctuary of her pocket.
"It's nothing," she snapped. "Dry skin, it's the cold." "That's not dry skin, that's flayed open. Let me see." "Drop it, Sam."
Her tone was ice, a command from a superior officer, not a friend.
"I don't have time for this."
Sam held his ground for a second longer, hurt flashing in his eyes, before he relented. He took a step back, shaking his head. Then he paused. He tilted his head, sniffing the air around her.
"What is that?" he asked. "You smell like bleach. Industrial cleaner."
Nicole's heart hammered against her ribs. The scent of the solvent still clung to her clothes, a chemical shroud she hadn't been able to shake.
"I did laundry," she lied, the fabrication tasting like ash. I used extra detergent. I needed to get the smell of death out of my clothes, Sam, okay? Sam studied her face, searching for the crack in the armor. He looked at the pocket where her mangled hand was hidden, then back to her eyes. He didn't believe her. Not entirely. But he saw the edge she was standing on. He nodded slowly. Okay, he said softly. But don't stay up here too long. We can't have two of us looking like we're at death's door. He lingered a moment longer, a silent question hanging in the air between them, before he turned and trudged toward the tunnel entrance, leaving her alone in the gray morning. Nicole waited until his footsteps faded. She closed her eyes and took a deep, ragged breath, willing her pulse to slow. She was losing the margins. The secrets were eating the edges of her life. She exhaled, opened her eyes, and turned to the railing, looking out into the void. Below the concrete platform, life was stirring. It was a fragile, quiet kind of life. To her left, near the tunnel entrance, Walt was at his station. The gentle giant, who had once driven a bus, was tending to crates of various fruits and vegetables. He moved with a tenderness that belied his size, whispering to the produce, no doubt talking to them like they were his family. To her mind, he looked homesick, his eyes occasionally drifting toward the western horizon, toward an island that felt a universe away. Further down, the smell of wood smoke and coffee cut through the mist. Ruby sat in her wheelchair near a makeshift fire pit, a cast-iron skillet balanced over the coals. Even from this distance, Nicole could see the set of the old woman's jaw, iron-willed and refusing to break. Ruby was organizing rations with military precision, counting cans of beans as if they were gold bullion. She was the glue holding them together, the grandmother who had traded a harvester for a handgun to protect her own. And pacing the perimeter fence, a chain-link barrier they had reinforced with debris and hope, was Sam. Ever-present Sam, who didn't run back to his quarters for some much-needed and much-deserved shut-eye. He walked with a limp he tried to hide, his breath puffing in white clouds. He stopped at a section of the fence, rattling it, checking for weaknesses. Looking up toward the watchtower, he caught Nicole's eye. Sam didn't wave, he just nodded, a silent acknowledgement of the weight they both carried. He had gone from a hardware store clerk to her most trusted lieutenant, but the worry lines etched into his forehead seemed deeper today. Nicole gripped the railing of the platform. They looked to her for answers. They looked to her for survival. If they knew the truth, the fragile peace of this congregation would shatter. They knew her father, Colonel Stephen Bennett, had commanded this base. They knew he had died here, one of the infected. But they didn't know the rest. They didn't know that the contagion that had devoured the world wasn't an accident of nature, but a weapon forged in these very labs. They didn't know that her father hadn't just failed to stop it. He had overseen its creation. She felt the ghost of her father standing behind her, whispering the confession she had watched on his laptop. The tree won't grow if those who remain think the root is poisoned. Nicole turned back toward the dark maw of the tunnel. She had to keep the secret. She had to hold the walls up, even as they threatened to crush her. We are survivors, she whispered to herself, repeating the broadcast mantra. But as the wind howled through the canyon, sounding too much like the moans of the dead, she wondered how long survival would be enough.
Human. Extinction level.